Hi, my name is Joy Chen, and I'll be reading the article What Can We Learn from Controversial Terrorists, written by Marc Andre Morel and published in the opinion section of the April 2025 issue of The Tower. It is well accepted that a sense of American security collapsed along the World Trade Center back in 2001. From a country dazed and confused, the war on terror began, and soon enough, our generation was born, a population hyper aware of and sensitive to instances of terrorism. The September 11 attack certainly dwarfed any instance of non-war violence that the United States has seen in the preceding decades, but terrorism did not start in the 21st century. Many students may remember learning about John Brown, who killed several pro-slavery expansionists and attempted a raid on Harper's Ferry to further the cause of abolition. Brown became a Union Mayor in the years following his execution, and even today, many don't necessarily deem him a terrorist. To better understand Brown's case, consider the definition of terrorism, an act of violence against non-combatants for a political aim. Non-combatants are everyday civilians who are not directly partaking in hostilities, while combatants are actors in the conflict. Besides a simple semantic separation, this implies a distinction between the right to protection held by each group. Supposedly, the United States conducts war, an action justified in that it kills people who choose to fight. And its enemies conducted terrorism, an action unjustified in that it kills people who chose nothing. Brown never killed a truly neutral person, neither from his perspectives or ours today. Because for both, to defend slavery constitutes such as an abhorrent belief that it becomes violent by nature. But for the wider view of his day, abolition has become so polarized as a political issue that neutrality in its matter meant simply not engaging in physical violence for the cause. Therefore, complications arise when evaluating who truly counts as a combatant. Somewhere between John Brown's raid and the September 11 attacks, we lie someone like Ted Kaczynski, otherwise known as the Unabomber. In Kaczynski's manifesto, he detailed his fear that modern technological advancements would trigger a world without nature, human freedom, and dignity. By mailing bombs to university professor conducting STEM research, airline executives, and advertisers, he acted upon his extreme political opinions. With knowledge on the extent of global warming, he might have very well argued that everyday choices of Americans to use ecological resources such as gas, electricity, and water made the combatants against Earth themselves, which he defended. The question of who is a combatant has come to a larger stage in the trial of Luigi Mangione. Even without any legal determination as to whether or not he murdered UnitedHealthcare CEO Mark Thompson, Mangione has become a folk hero for his alleged action. To his defenders, the insurance CEO is responsible for the violent action of causing people to suffer unimaginable health care fees, whereas Luigi, if guilty, is only a victimized soldier in the class warfare that the rich started. The prosecution, meanwhile, sees a man murdered for doing his legal job and a terrorist responsible for that murder. What made these cases compelling and generally socially accepted? Figures such as John Brown, Ted Kaczynski, and Luigi Mangione based their actions off of well-researched, passionately defended, ideological positions that tapped into public grievances. Their targets were not random, but individuals seized as combatants responsible for systematic issues, whether it is slavery, the degeneration of humanity, or healthcare inequality. Their actions were not intended to instill fear into the general public, but rather a distinct resistance towards a combatant. In a community like Princeton, where student activism is often passionate and socially conscious, it's important to ask, how do we define resistance, and where do we draw the line between protest and violence? While we don't condone acts of harm, we can reflect on the motivations behind historical and controversial figures to understand how they were able to make so deeply moved by injustice. PHS activists can learn that effective change comes not just from emotion, but from an informed, strategic action that taps into shared concerns and presents compelling narratives.